And when there's a problem, we can address the problem. That's the safety zone. We are addressing the problem. The danger zone goes when we don't address the problem, we attack the person. That's the danger zone. If you have a no criticism policy in your marriage, you're going to say, you are my better half. You are my equal. You are my helpmate. In that way, we're on the same team. And because we're on the same team and we are one, why would I criticize you? If I criticize you, I'm criticizing me.
Welcome to the weekly Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I'm in studio with Chris Conley, a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. And we have got a great episode for you today. One of my favorite topics that Chris and I don't get to teach on as often as we would like to, and that is the topic of marriage. So hopefully you will get a lot out of this. Chris, set the stage to help all of the leaders out there in their marriages so that they can protect them, guard them, and strengthen them as they're making an impact in their community.
First of all, I would say leadership is definitely an important topic in the context of marriage. We must lead well. And there's a sense where sometimes we neglect to think about leadership in the context of our personal lives. So the reason why we're going to talk about marriage today, when we lead well in our personal lives, that complements our professional lives. And if we can build the right foundation in our personal lives, then it sets us up to lead well in our professional lives. But if our personal life is broken and we're not leading well, that's also going to negatively impact our professional life. So today, we want to put this talk today, this podcast today, in the context of illustration. I want you to think about you're heading into an intersection, you're driving into an intersection, and there's a red light, okay? So every red light has got a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. And the yellow light is often the one that we neglect the most. We have to stop at the red light and we get to go at the green light. But the yellow light is the decision point. And that yellow light is all about caution. So today, as we talk about marriage, we want to talk about the yellow lights that represent caution, where we need to be cautious in our marriage. And that caution is an expression of love. And so these yellow lights, they're designed to warn us, to protect us, and ultimately be understood as an expression of love. We're giving caution because we love you so much. We want you to proceed with caution in these areas so that you know when to stop and when to go. The purpose of this is that when we do this, it will help you establish these convictions that will protect you and others from the obvious danger. So that's what yellow lights are all about.
Chris, if you are a leader, whether it be within your home or within corporate America or the nonprofit sector, it doesn't matter where you are a leader. There's this tendency as we are given more and more responsibility to kind of think, well, I've been successful and I've gotten this far. And so maybe I don't need to pay as close attention to the details. I've kind of earned my stripes and kind of got this thing together. And I would just say, please, as a yellow light, you can never take that approach in your marriage, in your relationships. We never are too far along in our career. We're never too successful to think that we can avoid the temptations and the struggles that are out there if we don't give priority to our marriages.
Well, not only that, here's another yellow light. You might be listening to this podcast and you're not married. And you go, you know, this doesn't apply to me. No. Actually, if you are dating, when you are dating, you're either practicing marriage or practicing divorce. These principles that we're going to talk about, they will apply to a marriage relationship, but they will also apply to any healthy relationship, to friendships, to work relationships. So this is for every single person. We're going to apply it specifically to marriage, but if you're not married, I think you'll find a lot of stuff that will apply to every relationship in your life.
Well, in part one of this podcast, we want to have a dialogue about the five top yellow lights that we have found in our marriage. And if you'll tune in next time, we will talk about the green light. So this one, put your ears on and discern, is this an area in your marriage that you need to give some attention to? And Chris, that first one that we want to talk about is pace. Oh boy, is this one something that every leader has to be very aware of. If you are going too fast to stop, you know that you've got a problem. And that is a temptation for any one of us that have been faithful with a little and we get put in charge of much. There's that temptation of just always saying yes. And you and I have had conversations very recently, last night, of how do we discern what to say yes to and what to say no to.
We all have to understand that as leaders, pace is not a problem to be solved. It's a tension to be managed. So a lot of times we talk about, well, we need more margin in our life. And I think that's probably true for most leaders. And then we'll go in to say, well, we need balance. Well, actually, most leaders aren't balanced, okay? When you say that you need balance, you're actually talking about something that's completely different of your personality and different of what has made you an effective leader. Balance isn't necessarily the right word. You need to establish the right pace. So there's a radical difference between running a 5K and running a marathon. If I'm running a 5K, I can increase my pace when I'm running 3.2 miles. And I can run 3.2 miles at 8 minutes. But if I'm going to be running 26 miles, I'm not going to average 8 minutes. My pace has to be different because I have to understand that I am running 26 miles, not 3 miles. And I have to pace myself differently in order to be healthy throughout the duration of the race. Think of it this way. It is hard to be happily married on the run.
That is so true. We sit here speaking from having done really well at this in some places and having pace that is within reason, and then other seasons where we look at each other and go, how did we get here? We are going too fast. So you want to have that conversation before it's so fast that you are having the regrets of, why did I say yes to that? And you're asking the questions as a couple. Have that free dialogue in your marriage to be able to say, how are you feeling about the pace? If we just say as a leader, oh, you need to stop doing something, there's something about that that just feels hopeless and helpless. Are you kidding? Do you know how much responsibility I have? But no, to go, what is most important? And you've got to protect those things that are most important.
It's also critical to understand there are different races for different seasons of your life. And there are some seasons of your life, maybe you're married without kids, and your pace can be a little bit faster. There are some seasons in your life where you're married with young kids and you're going to have to adjust the pace accordingly. With each season of life, the pace is different. It's different for each leg of the race. And there are even times I need to not be so consumed with winning the race. I need to learn to just be content with running the race well. Be content with establishing a quality of life. Be content with establishing a pace that allows your priorities to actually be your priorities. Virtually all of us will agree that our priorities should be God first and foremost, His church, His mission, all of that good stuff. Second, our priorities should be family. Third, our priorities should be maybe our career. Fourth, our friends. Maybe fifth, some type of hobby or recreation, those kind of outlets and things of that nature. We would generally agree with the order of our priorities. We have intellectual agreement. We don't have actual agreement in the sense of the way that we distribute our time. So what we've got to be able to do is we've got to say, I've got to match up my calendar with the priority list that's in my head.
And the way that this will manifest itself within a marriage, we talk about in our home, and this is not unique to us, the halt syndrome, when you're either hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And that makes halt. If you find in your marriage that there's just this shortness that hasn't been there, and there's just conflict, and it's hard to be who God made you to be if you are running at such a pace that you find yourself experiencing these things, that you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, and you're tired. And that happens a lot of times with a busy pace.
So the best illustration of that, let's say we're on family vacation. Say we've got a couple of small kids that are maybe 5 years old, 7 years old, and you're at Disney World and you're going all day long. It is just sensory overload and they're having a blast and it's incredible. Then there just comes this wall. They hit this wall where all of a sudden what's supposed to be the greatest experience in the world, this magical place, they're either hungry in that moment, they get tired in that moment. Because they get tired, they get angry, they hit this wall. They have this meltdown, this breakdown, this temper tantrum, something of that nature. And we see that in a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. Guess what? Adults do the exact same thing. When we hit the wall of halt, then what we do is we throw our own temper tantrum. And that leads us to the second yellow light.
And that yellow light is criticism. If you find that within your marriage, there's just an increasing level of negativity, not believing the best about your spouse, that is a yellow light. That needs to stop you in your tracks and go, okay, wait a minute. We love each other. This is not us being at our best. What do we need to do so that criticism doesn't take over this marriage? The negative thought patterns that can be created and just the way that the enemy loves to just kind of work itself in there and affect our marriages. What would you recommend if someone's out there right now? And I know we're going to talk about the green lights in our next podcast, but this whole topic of criticism is something that I've seen you teach me a lot about, not being critical. So if you could share with our audience, what are some of the ways that you protect and guard from being critical? When I give you plenty of reasons to be critical on a daily basis, somehow you choose not to be. Help us all to be more like that.
This should be obvious. It should seem unnecessary, but we are two imperfect people. And when you are imperfect, guess what? You annoy people. You can frustrate people. You can disappoint people. You can have your halt moments, your hungry, angry, lonely, tired moments. And when that happens, the thing that will help you the most is if, as a couple, you have established a no criticism policy. No criticism. We are not going to attack one another. Now, we've talked about this before on this podcast about normalizing conflict, that in the world of conflict, there is a danger zone and there is a safety zone. The safety zone is that we are two smart, competent people, and when there's a problem, we can address the problem. That's the safety zone. We are addressing the problem. The danger zone goes when we don't address the problem, we attack the person. That's the danger zone. If you have a no criticism policy in your marriage, you're going to say, you are my better half. You are my equal. You are my helpmate. In that way, we're on the same team. And because we're on the same team and we are one, why would I criticize you? If I criticize you, I'm criticizing me. If I hurt you, I'm hurting me. What we've got to do is we've got to come together in that unity. We've got to speak life to one another instead of criticism to one another. So can we find a way, instead of criticism, to compliment? Can we find a way to come to agreement? Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. A lot of times when we're criticizing, we are downright rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's when halt occurs and we're frustrated and we just want something our way. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Guess what? In the married world, we no longer see each other just on our date night. We no longer see each other just when we're at our best and we're ready to see one another. It's in the morning. We're trying to rush out of the house to get to work. It's at the end of the day after we've had a long, stressful day. And it's easy to be irritable or resentful. And love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So I would say the thing that we've got to do there is we are simply not going to go there. We are going to have a no criticism policy.
Chris, I'm sitting here imagining when I listen to podcasts, I'm usually running. And so I'm not sitting there listening to the same podcast with you. So it's certainly the type of thing where you might think, well, it would be really great if my wife would listen to this because, man, she's really good at criticizing me. Or if she would do this, it would be a whole lot easier not to criticize. And the same way for a woman listening, thinking, yes, I'm the one that tries to do this. I wish my husband would listen to this. And I would just say, whether you're a man or a woman listening to this podcast, the important value that you and I have learned over the years is that my response is my responsibility. I've said before, there'll be times where I will throw the knife. I'll make that cutting comment. I'll make that sarcastic or critical comment to you. And where I'm throwing the knife, you throw the pillow. You choose not to respond, return evil for evil, and that you instead will turn and respond with something maybe jovial or lighthearted, inappropriate way.
Never sarcastic.
Never. Usually my job, unfortunately, in our relationship. But I have to be responsible. No matter how you respond to me, I'm responsible for my response.
Right. In that there are times mature people act in an immature way. When someone is being immature, don't respond to their immaturity with immaturity. Respond to their immaturity with maturity.
Again, what every couple should do is put in front of you some ideas so that you can look at your marriage and say, are there places that we are needing a warning so that we get back into the green light zone and we don't go anywhere that we don't want to in our marriage? So we've talked about pace. We've talked about criticism. And then the third yellow light might not be what people would expect. Chris, talk to us about that relational yellow light.
In the world of relational, the primary relationship, primary friendship should be with your spouse. But what has happened in the busyness of our lives is that busyness is the enemy of intimacy. So when we don't cultivate that primary friendship, we begin to allow that relational need to be met by others. In a world of social media, there is even a greater danger today that we will be connected to everybody but our spouse. We will follow everybody else's life and spend time observing, interacting, maybe even wishing that we had certain aspects of their life as the qualities of our life, and we are more connected to them than we are connected to one another. So in the world of this relational component, we've got two ways that we need to look at friendship. One, we've got to always prioritize the friendship between husband and wife. Second, because that friendship needs a complementary friendship, I can't meet all of your relational need and you can't meet all of my relational need. We need these complementary friendships that then shoulder some of that need, some of that desire, some of that responsibility. So I want us to think about friendship this way. Friendship inspires faithfulness or faithlessness. It inspires. Friendship is perhaps the most underappreciated spiritual discipline there is. So we've got to look and see, friendship influences you spiritually and morally. Friendships influence you relationally and sexually. And when I say sexually, say, well, what do you mean by that? Honestly, how people talk about sex, whether they talk about it in an honorable way, whether they talk about it in a dishonorable way, whether they elevate the marriage relationship or not. Friendships influence you on a professional level and a financial level. So we've got to understand that friendships determine the quality and direction of our life. And if we have friends that are happily married, that build up their spouses, then that influences us in a great way. If we have friends who are constantly struggling and tearing down their spouses, we've got to guard against that yellow light of us being negative or critical toward our spouse. So first and foremost, we have to prioritize our friendship with one another. And second, prioritize healthy friendships with others, because ultimately, we are the composite average of our five closest friends. Your friends determine the direction and quality of your life.
For all of us in that busy lifestyle, it is easy to minimize and reduce the opportunities we have to be in healthy friendships. And so I know you and I have talked about, we have to prioritize. We can't get too busy to spend time together, but then we also need those healthy relationships. So in that kind of yellow light context, think about who you and your spouse are spending time with. Are you spending time together? Are the other people in your lives healthy people that are going to help your marriage be stronger? And we have walked through way too many couples where a man meets a woman or is working with a woman or a woman's working with a man, and all of a sudden that you'd never expect anything to go astray. And it does, because they have not yielded to those yellow lights and said, wait a minute, we need to make sure that we're spending time with the right friends that help us to be a better, healthy couple. And that really leads us directly into the fourth yellow light, and that is the yellow light of lust. This is something that has some very practical implications, some ways that we can look at how do we, as men and women in a busy world in leadership, take some precautions in the area of how we interact with friends and with coworkers so that we are not struggling as much with this area of lust.
I would say first, that word lust, in this context, we understand it in the realm of sexual lust. And that word just means strong desire or strong ambition. And what we see is that God created the sexual relationship to be the celebration of a healthy relationship. And it should be the most special part of a level of communication that is beyond words. So it's very powerful. It's very intimate. It's the exact reason why the enemy uses it in such a detrimental way. Interesting thing about what the Bible says about sexual immorality and what it says about sexual temptation is it just says flee. Run from it. Run from it. So the first thing I would say about lust is play defense and offense. Defense is guard your eyes. Defense is in this world with all the ways that everything is sexualized and all the availability and all the access through the internet and through all different forms of social media and everything. You have to not lower your standard to our culture's standard. You have got to elevate your standard. You have got to guard your eyes. It is a temptation in particular. I'm going to speak to men first here. Women orient themselves to this in their own particular way. With men, it is a temptation that you don't sit there and go, I'm strong enough and I can handle this. I'm above that. No, you just guard your eyes. You just run from it. You just play defense. You just get away. Then offense. We'll talk more about that in a green light way. But offense is, you can't just run from it. Pursue a healthy, sexual, intimate relationship with your spouse.
That cannot be overstated. In the lifestyle and the pace that most leaders keep, you've got to prioritize that for the health of you and your spouse, for the health of your family, even in those very practical ways. Kind of more on the defense line, I'll just throw in there, it's being intentional. When you travel, that you are not traveling, going out to dinner one-on-one with someone of the opposite sex. You're not putting yourself in a position that could be compromising. And so it's being intentional and caring enough about your spouse to say, I'm going to grab a coworker to go with me if I need to go out on this appointment, or we're going to stay in a public place if we have to have this meeting, or whatever the case might be, to choose to be proactive and guard yourself.
Yeah, never think that you're beyond that. It is temptation. Sin is enticing. It is easy for all of us to be vulnerable. Those mistakes happen. One of the things that we want to remember is when those mistakes happen, forgive, and don't just assume that everything's over. There's restoration. Someone can be forgiven. Someone can be rescued. Someone can be reconciled. Never mistake the moment for the man. Never mistake the moment for the woman. That look at the consistency of life. We work with people all the time who, unfortunately, and it's a very painful process, have made this mistake. But don't give up. There is hope. There is forgiveness. There is freedom. Most of all, play defense, but don't just play defense alone. Play offense. The best way to play defense in this particular situation is to play offense.
And that's always a good thing. So let's move on to our fifth yellow light, and that is financial.
Oh, you get to talk about this one.
Yes, yes. I think that was a punt right there. So absolutely. As you think about your marriage, we all know that finances is a part of life. What does that have to do with your marriage? And what does that have to do with being an area of caution? It is so important that you as a couple make some pre-decisions. Today, I don't even know if you realize this, 26 years ago today, you and I met. Not our anniversary, you're off the hook for that, but we met 26 years ago today. This is something that if you've been married that long or even longer, I think with every single one of these yellow lights, it's important to realize you need to revisit them with every season of life and with the passing of time to go, okay, let's reevaluate our pace. Is there criticism? Our relationships? How are we doing in the health of our intimacy, in our relationship, and in our finances?
When you say finances, you're talking to a lot of leaders here who manage a lot of money on a regular basis. But it's easier to manage someone else's money sometimes than it is to manage our personal finances. So I would say this, never be beyond the basics. You may be a financial expert. You may run a company that is dealing with tens and hundreds of millions of dollars, but it just goes back to the basics of first things first, and it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And in that way, I would say Dave Ramsey does an amazing job with this. And for us to apply some of the principles that he teaches, and for us to understand that if we can allow money to be something that never controls us, but rather we control it, It's a tool that we use for the glory of God. It's a tool we use for the goodness of God. It's a tool we use to bless others more than just bless ourselves.
So if you're somewhere in your marriage to consider, is your money controlling you? Is it creating an enormous amount of pressure? There is just as much possibility to try to keep up with the Joneses, whether you have a middle income or an extremely high income. And at some point, if you can sense that finances is becoming an area of our marriage that's creating tension, then you want to step back and you want to be able to say, okay, how do we do this in a way that we can take the pressure off and we get back to the basics? So I hope this has been helpful for everyone. We look forward to you joining us for part two, where we get to get into some of the ways that you can decide to go into the green light area, help your marriage, and it will help every part of your lives. Thank you so much for joining us for this Lead Like Jesus podcast. For more information on leadership development, go to leadlikejesus.com.